Hello and a very warm welcome to all our viewers from Passion Vista Podcast. And today we are joined by Dr. Soha Imam. Dr. Soha, a very warm welcome to you to Passion Vista Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you and thanks for the listeners. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So Dr. Soha, we have a very great inspirational story that is revolving around you. So we would definitely like to understand from your career spans.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we would like to understand your career spans, multiple industries, each with its unique challenges. How do you tailor your leadership approach to align with the specific demands and cultures of each other?
That's an amazing question, actually. Well, every industry has its heartbeat, a rhythm that defines its challenges and opportunities and people. I start by listening. So listening to the people, understanding their values and their immersing with myself and the culture. From there, I try to adapt my leadership style to resonate with that kind of rhythm. For example, in the financial sector, precision and compliance are the paramount there. So I focus on structured decision making in the creative industries like the media and the comms and the marketing. I lean into flexibility and innovation. It's all about finding the balance between staying true to principles and respecting the unique dynamics to each sector.
That's really wonderful. I think that's the essence of any industry that you go, right? That's really wonderful. So in your experience, what are the most effective strategies for influencing senior leadership while ensuring that grassroots initiatives remain impactful and true to their regional vision?
Well, it's a delicate dance between vision and execution. And then I call it a dance for a specific reason. With senior leadership, I focus on aligning the initiatives with strategic opinions and priorities, showing how the grassroots efforts contribute to the broader goals, the bigger ones. And clear communication and measurable outcome are very important and crucial keys here. At the grassroots level, the very, very grassroots level, I try to empower teams by giving them the ownership and ensuring they feel heard. It's very important that they feel that their top management are listening to them. Bridging these levels requires a very big amount of trust, and building it, nurturing it, and maintaining that trust for a longer time when everyone feels connected to the mission, the only thing that you would see is magic.
Correct, correct. So you've been you've been actually instrumental into human resource, sales, communication, media. So how is it handling too many roles together? How do you actually manage to do that?
I get people asking me that question. It's not too many. The thing is, when you find the connection between these many, where people see it many, it's not, because communication is the core of our lives. When you're a baby, you communicate with your mom to, you know, change your diaper or tell her I'm not comfortable or I'm hungry. So communication is the core. So when I do marketing, I still need to communicate with a specific target segmentation. When I do communication, this is exactly the core and the essence of the target segment that you're handling or you're addressing and writing the key messages that fits them. When you're doing media, again, you're addressing people and it is based on the communication. When I'm doing training, and again, you're doing communication. So people feel it's different, where for me, it's a very simple cycle. Everything is very interconnected and I don't feel I'm doing various things at the same time. I'm taking the transferable knowledge if I'm doing marketing. So I'm taking all the transferable knowledge from the education or the HR or the business administration or whatever background. And I focus now into doing marketing. When you're doing that nothing. You just focus that transferable knowledge towards that direction. And again, magic happens. So I don't feel I'm confused at all. It's pretty much very smooth and works in harmony.
That's beautiful. I think you've described it beautifully and you're handling it more beautifully.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So you've been into a lot of training programs, and what I believe is you've been into cultural diversity in your training programs. So how do you actually manage this?
Wow, I love the question. I've always believed that it's always about people. It's always about people. And I love working in a diverse culture. So it's being in the UAE also has given me that kind of exposure. You're not dealing with a specific culture or people with specific trends or aspects or characteristics. Curiosity and humility, for me, are my guiding principles. I invest time in learning about those people, whether it's about their culture, their background, their region, how they eat, how they talk, how they walk as humans, or their technical interactions when it comes to work or a specific industry. So pretty much this involves asking the right questions, seeking different or diverse perspectives from those people, and most importantly, being willing to unlearn that kind of notion. So it's understanding these cultures has already enriched me and instilled a lot of values that were really has shaped my own life as we speak right now. And so I've ensured that everything I learn from different cultures that I feel that fits my own principles and morale is something I'm going to keep. And it keeps me growing and it keeps me more shining and it takes me forward in life. So diverse cultures is a key in making you or transforming human beings into let me say it in this way, being international citizens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been a very strong woman. And I would say that, you know, you're handling presidential projects. This is a great achievement in itself, and especially a woman handling it in UAE. So how is it actually? How do you feel about it?
Responsibility is part of my DNA. It's at the very beginning that used to intimidate me, and I get very scared, and it's just, this is big. Am I gonna do mistakes? But when I'm more comfortable with myself and more comfortable with my knowledge and my experience in that field that I've chosen to be part of, it's not anymore that kind of intimidation that I get as a feeling. It's more of I'm singing with the heartbeat of that industry, a rhythm that defines these kind of challenges that I'm facing. And I don't call it even challenges. It's more of the fun about what you're doing. So, but for me, they are opportunities. And again, the people that you're dealing with. If I listen perfectly, what I get is when you listen to the core of what is happening around you, and you truly understand what is needed to be done at that particular moment. What is the actual need? What is the actual problem? And you pinpoint it. It is very easy for human beings, specifically for me, that I've learned through life to come up with various ways to solve problems. And I adapt my leadership style to resonate with that kind of rhythm that I'm seeing. That's a problem where it's not time for crying now. It's time for taking that kind of particular action with these available resources within that particular time. So you focus very much on structuring that kind of decision making, in being creative about it. So being flexible and innovative is something that made me a little bit more unique than maybe others when it comes to handling challenges in approaching these obstacles in a way that makes it fun, because for me, it's a learning opportunity. Yeah.
Correct. I completely agree with you. That's the beauty, how you take up such difficult roles and you take them so easily. I mean, that's hats off to you, how you've been managing it, because it's quite a, you know, responsible job which you're doing.
Yeah, but responsibility, I've seen a lot of people that are doing this. Maybe they were not highlighted in the media or stuff, but I've seen people who are very resilient and they're very creative doing these kind of things, and I've learned from them a lot.
Beautiful, beautiful. So leading across diverse industries and cultures requires a deep understanding of various dynamics. So how do you cultivate this understanding, and how does it inform your leadership decisions?
Well, this is a very good question, actually, and it has, it's a big question. At the very beginning, let me take you in this, because it's a long story. At the very beginning, you try to do your best, because I'll take you through the entire process and where I am right now. So at the very beginning, you're just trying to do your best. This is what I know, and you just put it on a golden platter for people. That's what I know. That's enough. Is it enough? What can I do? And then knowing people and being that exposed and working in a diverse culture, that has, and with the amount of experience that you've seen in life, that has shaped your own leadership style. Now that I know who I am and I have a huge self-awareness of myself and empathy for others, I understand why he's acting this way, why am I acting this way, that has shaped my own leadership style, because I need to understand me and the people that I work with so there are no conflicts. We have already a problem that we need to solve. So we don't create our own problems to solve within each other before we actually tackle that. I don't want to move in my own shoe. I want to actually take actual steps in the route that we're seeking. So it's very important that across the diverse industries that I've worked in, and with different cultures and different types of people and different leadership styles, the learning was huge. I invested a lot of time in learning, whether it's about these differences or understanding even the nature of that job in that industry, because in every industry, the way you do it, it's a little bit different. And in media, it's very, very difficult, because one terrible mistake online, or one terrible mistake that goes to the media, it's a major issue, as you can see. So there are certain pivotal moments and decisions that are significant at that time that you need to pay attention to. So the journey, you start knowing nothing, you start to understand yourself first, and then you define your own leadership. Finally, wrap up with how can I fit within that kind of culture so that I don't cause bigger issues than the ones that we already want to solve. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Absolutely. So among the projects you've led, which one do you believe most exemplifies your core leadership philosophy?
I'm going to give you a very funny answer here. Being able to raise up my child, that was one of the biggest projects, by the way. No, truly, that was one side project. But if for a mom, doing a working mom, doing that kind of project, focusing, I have one child, giving her all the attention, that was a project that I need to pay very good attention to, because she's your extension of life. She's the one who's going to to lead the route afterwards. And then throughout the journey, in every sector and in every industry, there were lots of challenges. Now, I wouldn't be able to highlight a specific one, but when I used to work with Nokia internationally, that was one of beautiful 7 years where I've learned a lot. It was amazing school, and it was more of an exposure to the retail industry, marketing industry, communication, the combination of all together, how can they lean on each other, and how is that going to be beneficial for me as a person, dealing with different, because I was managing a region, IMEA, India, Middle East and Africa, going to all of these countries, getting that kind of exposure, doing a launch for a product in various countries, changing the key messages that fits and getting it tailored to fit every target segmentation in that region. The fun behind it is amazing. So A lot of projects, with every product launch with Nokia, that was a challenge that I've loved. With every training room that I enter, you see various people and they're your client and you need to make them satisfied and happy. So you try to, try to be as flexible and try to be as humane as possible so that you fit every single learning style, every different teaching methodology to fit their understanding and to get the message conveyed easily and smoothly and enable them and empower them to actually deploy it within their actual life. Because I'm not reading books for them. I need them to get the information and need them to use it in their lives. And with every industry in the lots of in the financial industry, also lots of fraudulent activities that were one of the challenges that we need to work on. I've launched one of the major fight fraud campaigns with the national with the UAE Banks Federation. So, and again, with all of these challenges in various industries, I wouldn't say that they were challenges. They were, again, opportunities that enabled me to understand more about the life that I'm part of and being able to be someone who really impact the surrounding that is part of me. Yep.
Correct. So, of course, as you spoke about your daughter, I'm sure you have a little personal life where you also play beautiful piano. Am I correct?
That's very true. That's very true. It's music has played a very important part of my life. Music is my parents actually have bought me a piano when I was 3 years old, and it was one instrument that has transformed my life 180 degrees. And you can tell from my mood if I'm coming from school not in a good mood or something, and I play that sad melody, people will understand. Mom will go, I go, like, oh, that's what is happening with you. The teacher did not give me a star today. She would know from the melody. Or I'm doing something nice, piano and the music, because sometimes I do singing and I haven't learned. It came naturally to me. So if I hear something, I can easily come up with it and I play it smoothly. I cannot read notes, but I love piano. Music is... I think music is an international language. Everyone would understand it. It expresses everyone. And it helps me focus sometimes doing certain projects or writing some strategies. If you have light music at the background, or if you just want to contemplate or meditate, all of these activities cannot be done without music in the background. Yeah.
That's absolutely true what you're saying, and I can correlate with it, because I think music is the only one which actually soothes you down, gives you that creativity which actually, you know, especially you need at work. That's really amazing. Any favorite bit of yours which you like?
I was very much attached with a beautiful song by Whitney Houston called I Will Always Love You, one of the golden pieces in the Bodyguard movie. I love singing that particular piece. I love all Beethoven, all the classical music, all the soft music, not a particular genre, but pretty much everything. Because again, as a human being, your mood differs and your energy differs based on the music that you're listening to. So, and it's good to have that kind of variety in the listening as well, like the variety in reading books. I don't go for one particular genre. It's good to be open for everything. I love being open for everything. Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. You've been an award winner. We've seen a lot of applauses and accolades, and you've been winning too many beautiful awards. So we would like to know that what these awards actually mean to you and how they've shaped your career.
Well, wow. Awards are like little milestones on my journey. They just remind me that the work I do matters. But more than that, they are a celebration of the team I've worked with.
in the organizations I've worked with, and the organizations I've partnered with most of the time, and the lives that I've impacted. Winning, for example, the Education Leadership Award was a huge honor, but it also reminded me to keep pushing boundaries and even dream bigger, because when I was doing what I'm doing and training around 100,000 human beings in different sectors on different or various topics, I didn't have any intention to actually go for an award. I didn't know that there was an actual award that existed for that particular type of work. And then it came. So it was a surprise to me, and I didn't plan for that. But when it comes out of nowhere, this is sort of an appreciation, and that's a good thing. It makes you feel, oh, people start to understand what you're doing. And that is... it makes you feel like, okay, I want to do more. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't feel that is enough. And this is exactly how I resonate with awards. I didn't have anything in my plan. It just came along. It made me feel very emotional, but it also gave me a little bit more of a burden to, that's not the end. I need to go more. I need to go further, and I can do more. And I even love giving more and more right now.
Beautiful. So as the saying goes that besides a successful man, there is a beautiful woman. So besides a successful Dr. Soha, who is the great strength we have?
Oh, wow. Well, I'd like to dedicate all the love and all the appreciation to my mom and my daughter. They have played a tremendous, I'm very mesmerized with what they've done. My daughter was very patient, because most of the time in leading, for example, a region where I had to do lots of traveling, she was patient and she's learned to be responsible for herself. My mom was sometimes replacing my role as a mom for my daughter throughout her the raising up journey. And both of them were the backbone, and they were the enabler of where I am right now and what I have become. I also would say I have a couple of friends that has been always there as another backbone, in sisters and brothers, and my mentors, the leaders, and the very close friends in my cycle that has given, you know, sometimes as human beings, we go down, the energy goes down, or you feel you're not on the right path, or what is it that I'm doing? And you find someone that gives you that kind of path. You're doing a great job. We're there for you. You're doing an amazing thing. It gives you that kind of, you're not alone. They're very sincere. They're very honest, and people who truly loves you and wants to back you and wants to give everything they can possibly give for you to give others and paying forward. And I love the friendship that I've done throughout my life. I love it. I cherish that. I love my family members. I'm part of a bigger organization that is called Home. And if I was not raised up in this way, I was not able to help others. So the profound ground that I'm standing on enabled me to flourish and do so many good things in the world I'm proud of.
Wow, that's really beautiful and amazing. So here comes a very interesting question in my mind, that if you had the resources to launch any initiative without constraints, what bold project would you pursue to transform human potential?
I would definitely right away create a global platform for experiential learning. And blending technology like AI or VR with mentorship programs to prepare individuals for the future work. 100%. And that's an instant thought just came to my mind. This initiative would focus on bridging the gap between education and the particular industry that people are working in, fostering skills like empathy, creativity, critical thinking, and the impact, you know, of a generation of leaders who are not competent, but compassionate, driving progress with human touch. P- period. This is for me, knowledge has no bound. If you know, you're going to do better. That's it.
Fantastic. I think that's so crisp and clear.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. So what's the most profound lesson you've learned from your mentors and by mentoring global teams?
I would say that people are people. No matter where they're from, we all want to feel valued, understood, and inspired. So mentoring global teams, I would say, has taught me that trust and authenticity are universal. And actually universal currencies, and they transcend cultures and languages. And when you lead with your heart, amazing things happen. And that's it.
That's
wonderful. Heart and everything. Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. So what's your vision for the future of learning and development? And what are your future plans that you're planning for yourself now?
Wow. Okay. That's a compound question.
So, well, my vision in for the future, it's very exciting. I'm always very optimistic about the future. So I see that learning becoming more personalized, tech-driven, and experiential. This is what I see when it comes to learning. So imagine a world where training is adapted to you in your own space, in your own learning style, and your own goals. It's just about making learning not just something you do, but something you live. So this is how I envision the future of the learning. For me, there's no boundaries for the as a person. For the future, I'm open to everything as long as I'm open to learning. If one door closes, there is another. I have that kind of faith, and I'm very confident that another bigger door is going to open. So then I'm very open to open these doors. I have the courage. Yeah, I have the courage, and I'm not afraid to just try everything. And this is to extend your comfort zone and learn more. Yeah.
Beautiful. What advice would you like to give to our aspiring leaders and your continuous learnings?
A lot. I'll tell them to stay curious, stay humble, never stop asking questions. The moment you think you know it all is the exact same moment you stop growing. And always surround yourself with people who challenges you and seek out diverse perspectives. And always remember, every day is an opportunity to learn something new. That's it.
Beautiful, beautiful. And certainly I would agree, and you would also agree, that everyone has a success mantra that they keep following, that they keep believing. So what is your success mantra? Would you like to share with us?
I always have my own personal quote, which is knowledge has no bounds, because the only thing that really made me feel I'm a special person is knowledge. If there is something I don't know, as long as I keep asking myself questions, there's a book, there's Google, there's an expert in this area, and I have this kind of connection. I go right away, I knock doors and I search, and that make me in that mode of pursuing something. I'm always running after that knowledge, so I don't wait for knowledge to come be fed for me. No. So it's more of I'm in that kind of learning mode all the time. I want to know more, and not because you've got a PhD or something, that's the end of the world, that's the end of that route. No. I always feel that even up till the day we're going to die, there will be a lot of things that we haven't even touched base about in that life. Yep.
Beautiful. With this, I have a question which always comes, while you wake up early in the morning, you have a thought, you have a day to start. So what's that one thought that aspires you to, this is what my morning mantra or morning inspiration is. I have to just wake up and I have to do this.
I believed in paying forward. So the only thing I always think about when I first wake up in the morning is, how can I stop the impact, the negative impact of other or the environment? And how can I impact others proactively and nicely and give an ad? And if someone did something good to me, how am I going to take that thing and pay it forward for someone who actually needs it? So this is the mindset. When I wake up in the morning, I'm very positive. I'm very content. And I know my capabilities. And what I do is I open the door and I give that kind of smile for people and see, how can I be at your service today with the knowledge I know? Exactly. So if someone needs a pat on the back, because some of my employees are very, very young and they get very overwhelmed with work and stuff. So they need the morning. Oh, that's an amazing bag. Oh, good morning. Wow, how's your day so far? You don't know how to do this? Let's do it. So that kind of whatever thing, very small things that you can give as a leader to the people that are part of your organization or the people that you're dealing with, definitely is going to impact them. And that accumulated impact is going to shape their characters. And I love to see someone that I've worked with at the beginning of the year. And then I go like, look, at the end of the year, he's grown. He's taken these things in. It's instilled in his, and it's part of his characteristics. And you just love it when you see people grow and I go like, mm-hmm, I've done a great job. I've done a great job.
That's absolutely true. I completely agree with you on that part. It actually gives us a lot of faith and confidence that we are at the right path, because we are actually making future generations so strong that they can actually take over the things gracefully. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, all those who are trained under us are going to do much better.
You know, it happens most of the time, Dr. Neetu, when I remember, I give a lot of trainings, but I remember one particular participant that I met across in the supermarket with his wife and kids. And he approached me. He was like, Dr. So, I said, hi. I was not able to recognize the face. I was like, yes, how can I help? He was like, I wanted to thank you for that particular statement. And he said it to me.
Oh,
and you've said that 2010. And I was like, okay, that has transformed my life. And because of that, I was able to get married. Because of that, I have two kids. And I was in tears. I burst in tears because one sentence, that was a true impact that really touched my heart as a human being. Oh my God, sometimes, and this is the value of words, we say words. Sometimes we hurt people without even understanding that we said something that really hurt that person. But some other words you say might transform someone else's life. So beware of every single letter that comes out of your mouth before you actually hurt or devastate someone or encourage someone positively.
Wow, wow, beautiful, beautiful. And this was Dr. Soha with us. We had a beautiful conversation with her, and I'm sure our viewers are going to really enjoy the great inspirational story that we had from you, Dr. Soha.
Thank you so much, Dr. Neetu, and thank you for the listeners. I hope I've added something. Just be yourselves, guys, and no matter what, life goes on. Just be tough, be very tough, and be resilient.
Absolutely, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And this ends our podcast, and I'm sure you will have all enjoyed it. So a very, very special thanks to you, Dr. Soha Imam, for sharing her wisdom and passion of empowering people. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. So stay tuned at Passion Vista Podcast and keep watching us.